praise the Lord. Thank you, amen. Amen, praise the Lord. It's good to see you again. My mother said she wanted to thank you for your sacrifice, allowing me to come and be such a help to her. And there was a lot of things that had to be done and took care of. And then with her moving, there was she needed some help with that. And me and my brother both were busy helping her. But she's got moved into her new place now. And she's just got to unpack boxes now. As she can find, to try to find whatever she's looking for. You know, you pack the boxes and you think you write on the outside what you got, and then they move all the boxes in, and then you don't know where anything is. But I bring you greetings from my brother and from the church up in Ohio, and they think of you often and they pray for you there. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to scriptures tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come, Lord, and as we are approaching, Father, this point in time in the service, standing behind, Lord, this sacred desk, realizing, God, the responsibility that lays on our shoulders while we stand here, Lord. I ask, Lord, with all humbleness that you will come, Father, and anoint us tonight, Lord, to be able to be a help and strength to the people, I pray. We give you all praise and thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Malachi, third chapter. And I want to begin reading from verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on tonight is the book of remembrance. And here in the scripture it says that they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another about the Lord. And that the Lord hearkened and he heard it. So the Lord hears when you're speaking one to another about him and what he's done. The Lord hears those things. And here it says he writes them down in a book of remembrance. Whatever you say. And you know, the prophet of God has told us that it isn't just what we say, but it's what we think. And it says here also that, and they that thought upon his name. Yes. So it's more than just what you say, it's what you think also. Amen. What do you think about? How do you think about his name? Amen. And the prophet of God has also told us that it has to do with our attitude. Yeah. And you know, there's many things in this world that can work against us to try to give us a bad attitude. Amen. There's things, I'll tell you what, the devil is always on hand to try to point a finger at somebody or something or other to try to get you to have a bad attitude. But you know what a bad attitude avails you? Nothing. You know what a bad attitude solves? Nothing. It doesn't avail you anything. It doesn't solve anything. Matter of fact, it just makes everything worse for you. But here, the Lord heard these things and he wrote them down in the book of remembrance. And he said, they shall be mine. And that in the day when I make up my jewels, you know, you are jewels in the crown of God, in the crown of Jesus Christ. Amen. And says there will be a day when there will be discerned between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now I want to take a look at something when it comes to remembrance. So I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read verse 14 to 17. Paul says here, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, whom shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, Timothy wasn't going to come and just bring remembrance of Paul's words, but of Paul's ways, which his ways said, which be in Christ. How he handled different situations. Bring to remembrance how he dealt with people and churches in certain situations. You know, as you go to putting quotes and scriptures together of this end time message, it's very important to consider the character of the man that brought the message. Many people put quotes and things together and they're not reflecting the character that of the man that brought the message. They're taking when they take it, start taking something out of character. When they, to give you a quick example before we go on, when they start trying to put quotes together that, you know, you don't have to go to church. That's out of character. Because the character that the man had that brought it was the character of Christ. And that's out of character with the scriptures. Paul said, I sent Timothy not just to quote the message, not just to say what he said, but to point to the character of the life behind the quote. Turn with me now, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. I've got quite a few scriptures wrote down here this evening to get to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul was reminding them of the vocation in which he had worked among them. And he was saying, I didn't do it for your money. And he was saying, I wasn't there to be a weight on you. It's important to remember not just what the man preached, but the way in which he preached it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus come from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye had good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Paul didn't say, I'm happy that you're quoting what I've said. Paul wanted the people to remember him. Why? Because the man and his message are one. You can't separate the man from his message. You can't separate the message from the man. There were certain things within Brother Branham's character that were fitting for what he had to bring. You remember one thing I can remind you of was when he went squirrel hunting. He had to always hit the squirrel in the eye. Now, what was that? He had to be right on target. In the natural, he had a keen eye. I read one place where Brother Branham, I was reading today when I was studying, where Brother Branham said, he said, I can almost see the hair down there laying on the bench right now. He had very keen eyes, the Lord had given. And he wasn't acceptable with just hitting the squirrel, but he had to hit it on the very target in which he was aiming for. And that's exactly how he was when it came to the Word of God. It wasn't, well, if I get close to it. No, he had to hit it right on. And he waited before God to get it that way. You remember when he was studying on to bring the seven seals, he said, when the angel came to him back there and opened up the things, he said, if he would have went with the way the things that he had laying before him, he'd have been off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he waited on the angel of the Lord to come. And every night when he was preaching the seals, he would say, now we know only the Lamb can take the book. Every service he would say that. And he might preach, I don't know how many pages it would go through, and it, with each seal, and then he would say, now the Lamb comes and takes the book. And then the seal would break open and he would tell you what it was. What was it? It wasn't Brother Branham. He was waiting on that angel of the Lord. He was waiting on Jesus Christ himself, because he was the only one that could open the book. And that was the character of Brother Branham. You can't, if you try to sever the message from the character that God brought it in through the man, then you've missed the whole message, which is Christ. That's what the whole message was. What it was about was Christ, introducing Christ again to the people in this age. The message of our time today, as I said earlier, is becoming to be so different from the character in which God used to bring it amongst many people. We need to remember what kind of a man Brother Branham was. The prophet's life was a reflection of the character of the message. That's the examples I've been giving you. Messages more than just tapes, books, and quotes. It's a life. And that life was projected to us. To have the letter but not the spirit and character is death. This message must be more to us than saying what he said, more than just books and tapes and quotes. It's got to become our lives. Not the life and character of a man. In other words, not imitating Brother Branham. But the character of the message, which is Christ living in you. I want to read something from the resume of the ages from the church age book. And I want to, by this, remind you the kind of man God used to bring this message. It was not one that desired great wealth or great accomplishments or personal achievements. He says here, not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me or join my church or start some fellowship organization. I've never done that and will not do that now. I have no interest in those things, but I do have an interest in the things of God and people. And if I can accomplish just one thing, I will be satisfied. And that one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and man, wherein men become new creations in Christ, filled with his spirit, and live according to his word. That is the kind of man who brought us the message. Some of you here tonight, and I know our young people have growing up on the quotes. I know that I did. But I will remember in the spirit in which the message came. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And I want to read down through verse 6. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in a latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believed and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So he was instructing Timothy to stir their memory back to the faith. Stir it back to the word, to the message. Now let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, he's telling him, you need to remember our vision. Amen. You need to remember what we're called to. What our purpose is, why that we're here. We're not here to have a big church, to have big numbers. We're not here. We're here to bring the message of Christ to the people. We're not here to impress people with our ministry. We're here to help the bride get ready to go in a rapture. We're not here to argue and debate and fuss. We're here to produce Christ. And that's what we need to be doing, is producing Christ. When I was here last, I made mention that we need to make sure our focus is on the right thing. Sometimes we get our focus on things of the flesh. Sometimes we get our focus on things that are carnal. And when I'm talking about things of the flesh, I ain't talking about these sins and all these things or whatever, but I'm talking about things of everyday life. Sometimes we get it focused on what somebody thinks about me or what somebody feels about me, or if they're not doing the way I think they should be doing it, or if things ain't going our way. Guess what? This isn't Burger King. You don't get to have it your way. It's got to be God's way. We need to get our focus on the message of the hour and what it's for. And that is to get us ready to go in a rapture. Not these little petty feelings that Satan wants to... Friends, if Satan has his way, he'll break this church up. But I'm here to tell you that I'm here to expect change.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God. Amen.
Because I'm here to go in a rapture.
Amen.
And I'm here to help a people get ready to go in a rapture.
Amen.
God didn't call me to put out all of your little family brush fires.
Amen. Preach. No, sir. That's right.
God called me to preach this word. And he's called you to believe this word and to get ready to leave this world. And I believe we're getting closer and closer to the time of leaving this world. People are looking over at North Korea and what North Korea is doing. I ain't worried about what North Korea is doing. Never were they ever mentioned in the prophecies. I'm not worried about them. Matter of fact, I'm not even worried about Russia, and they're the ones that are mentioned in the prophecy. I'm not worried about Los Angeles sinking. All those things are going to happen. And there's a great tribulation that's going to set in. But I'm not worried about that. Why? Because I'm not going to be here. And I want to get my focus on leaving this place. I want to get my focus on getting ready to go. And that's what I encourage you to do. Get focused on getting ready to leave here. And while I'm at it, get ready to start living with each other forever. Because there, you know, heaven ain't got no corners. It ain't going to be, well, you off in this little old corner having your time of heaven, and I'm off in a different corner. Nope, we're all going to the same table. You know, many times when you have a holiday dinner at home, while you get the whole family in, while you try to get as many as you can seated around one table together. So oftentimes what happens is there's a children's table. And the kids go sit at that table while the adults get to sit at as many of them as they can at the table together. There ain't no kids' table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all sitting at the same table. And you've got a spot reserved for you. Hallelujah. And sometimes I pray there's certain ones God does set side by side because they deserve it. Oh, God, remind us what you called us for. Remind us what you sent this message for. Let's look at the second chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is instructing Timothy that the people will sometimes fall short. He's instructing Timothy, they're going to make mistakes, Timothy. But what you need to do is put them in remembrance of the word. That God cannot deny his own. Listen to the way this says this. If we believe not. Now it's not talking about unbelievers. It's talking about us. What is sin? Unbelief. That's what it's talking about. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Why? He's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He cannot deny himself. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen? Remind them that their security is not in themselves. That their righteousness is not in themselves. That we don't make ourselves worthy. It's not in our works. It's in Almighty God and what He's done. It's what God's already done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. He's telling the people of Corinth, you can trust Timothy. He's going to carry on the work in like character. He didn't say, Timothy and I are exactly like in the flesh. But the character life working the work of the Lord is the same. Brother Phil and I, we're not alike in the flesh. But the character of Christ that's bringing the word across this pulpit is the same. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19. Now this is Paul talking to the church of Philippi, and he's conveying his confidence that he has in Timothy. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Now, he didn't say that Timothy was going to report back to him what their state was, but his confidence being in Timothy of what he knew how Timothy would conduct himself. Then he knew once Timothy got there that no matter what was going on, no matter what the situations were, that the state of that church would come into the right state of mind and the right state because Timothy would lead them in that. He knew how Timothy would handle the affairs. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember them that have the rule over you, saying, they've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. What is it talking about? Whose faith follow? Follow what they're preaching. Why should you do it? Because you consider the end of their conversation. What is the end of their conversation? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now let's turn back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want to start at verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That was quite a word that that he was speaking about the church of Philippi. And that was quite a compliment, is what I'm trying to say. What if you'd have said, I thank God that I can forget about y'all because the memory of you is just excruciating. You know, a church has a character. Brother Branham said that a church after a while begin to act like its pastor. I don't know what after a while means. But I hope we're getting there. Not that I want you to be like me in the flesh, but spiritually speaking. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. He's begun the work in us. Yeah. Yeah. And we can have confidence that he's going to finish that work. Amen. Even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So Paul says, I've got you in my heart. I'll tell you what, a pastor that really is called will have the people that he's called to pastor in his heart. It'd be much easier to not pastor. But I can't get away from what's in my heart. I love you people. And you know what? I don't care if there's not many of us, just as long as I can get every one of us ready to go in this rapture. Ye are partakers of my grace. He didn't say you're partakers of the grace of God. What did he mean by you're partakers of my grace? Paul understood grace very well. And the reason Paul understood grace is because God had to bestow grace unto Paul. Paul said in one place, I'm the worst. I'm the chief of sinners among you. I'm the worst. But God had grace on him. Paul understood grace. And so thereby the grace that God had bestowed unto Paul in his life, the people were partakers of that because of what the outcome of it was. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Paul had instructed Timothy to keep the people in remembrance. The churches were already established. And many of them, or most of them, lay claim to Paul as their father in the gospel. But Timothy still had to remind them of the faith. He still had to remind them of the message which had been brought. You imagine there might have been some people, because you got them in every group, every move, that they were looking and say, well, Timothy, we don't got to listen to you. We got the letters of Paul. They didn't have all the letters of Paul. The Philippians didn't have the Romans letters or the Thessalonians letters. Each of the churches had need of the ministry of Timothy to remind them of the message, which was Christ. I know that makes it sound so simple. What's the message? It's Christ. But that's what it is. And it's to bring a Christ-like life in the followers. Now turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And you know, we could take and preach a message on each one of these things. We could preach a message on, we have preached a message on patience several times. We could preach a message on virtue and faith and knowledge and patience and temperance and godliness. But he says here, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Peter's saying, I know you know these things. And I know you're established in the present truth. But I'm going to continuously remind you to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to your brotherly kindness charity, which is love. He said, I'm going to remind you of this. And I'll tell you, friends, God, what if we would look at a summation of the sermons and things that are being preached here, what is it? It's God reminding us of these things, that we have these things added into our lives. We're not up here trying to bend you to our will. I don't sit at home and think, boy, so-and-so is really aggravating. I wonder what I can preach to them. I don't sit at home. Listen, I just want to put it clear. I don't sit alone at home and get on my mind, well, I've been thinking about Brother Wayne. What could I say to Brother Wayne today? I don't get that on my mind. I try to get before the Lord to get what you need. There's a whole, and there's times when I'm preaching things and I don't know who it's for. Yeah, and then there's other times because I'm a pastor and live among you that I do know what it's for. But I know this, what the end goal is to get us ready to go into rapture. I know what the purpose is behind what I'm preaching is to get us ready. And I'll tell you this, one of the things about us getting ready is being able to get along with one another. Because we're going to the same place. So when I make the phrase of getting us ready to go, I'm talking about these things. Adding these things to your life. How much of our messages are about bringing things to your remembrance, things you already know? That's the majority of what we preach. Bringing things you already established in the faith. I trust that the majority of you are filled with the Holy Ghost. At least that's the way I preach to you. So I know we've got some young ones in that, but we've got plenty here that ought to be mature in the Lord. Peter says, though you're established in the presence of truth, so I'll not neglect to always put you in remembrance of these things. Now I want to look at something else here about remembrance. I want to go away from the messenger so much and the message, and I want to take a look at the churches themselves. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. Pardon me. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. So what this is saying is Paul had bragged to Timothy, to Titus rather. And he says, when you go down to that church in Corinth, you are going to have a wonderful time, Titus. You're going to enjoy preaching to that church. Because they get in it with you. They don't just sit there and remain quiet and you having to do all the plowing, Titus. They'll amen and pull on you. If you ain't careful, boy, they'll just pull on you till they pull you half to death. But you're going to enjoy preaching to them because they get into the message. They get into the word. And they identify with the word when it's preached. You know, that's one of the major things we need to do.
Yes,
is when the word's preached, we need to identify with it.
Yes.
If there's correction coming and that correction's to us, instead of us balking at it, we need to identify with it and say, yes, Lord, that's me. Help me, Lord. Because there's nobody that gets up here behind this pulpit that wants to beat on you. I know I don't. But we need to identify with the word as it's preached. I have preached at times and heard and over the years. And there's been times over the years that I've heard people throw amens. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, you say something and it triggers a thought for them towards somebody else, and then, amen! They need to get in line! That ain't identifying with the word. Identifying with the word is saying, Lord, we ought to approach every service saying, Lord, whatever I need from this service, I am expecting you to give it. And pull for that. If you've got a need, lay that need before the Lord. Talk to him. And the Lord will bring about the answer to that need. He'll bring it across the pulpit if you'll pull for it. If you'll lay it before the Lord in prayer. I think when I was here the last time, I said how did I say it? When's the last time that you prayed for a service that you were coming into? When's the last time you prayed for one of our services? We all ought to be praying for every service. We've got time. If you don't got any other time than when you get here to church and the music's playing and it's before the song leader has got up here, you've got time to pray for that service while you're sitting in your seat. Lay your requests out before the Lord. He told Titus, he said, that church is going to encourage you. And it did. And it blessed Titus in such a way to their reaction to the word that Titus, his affection was stirred toward the people. He said, boy, I love to go there and preach. Man, I love to preach there. You know, churches are remembered according to how they receive the ministry and how they respond to the preaching of the word. We've got brothers who come through here and preach to us. It's Brother Jewel Forning, Brother Darrell Ward, and Brother Carlos. It's been some time since he's been here. Been some time since Brother Benton's been here. Y'all remember him in prayer. And I think he won't be out on the field no more. Brother Roel Soriano from the Philippines went by and visited him on this trip, and he said that Brother Benton and Sister Benton and both of them trying to help each other out, and both of them feeble. And just remember him in your prayers. But he's been a blessing to us when he came. Every time he came, he's been a blessing to us. We've had these brothers. You know what? I know myself from being when I was out on the field that when I'd get to talk to other ministers like Brother Jewel Forney, who was also out in the field, or, you know, someone else, there was times we would kind of trade stories a little bit. Brother, I was over in such place, and I tell you what's the truth. I had to plow from the word amen to the first prayer. There's places I've been in that as soon as I got done reading the text, I prayed, oh God, help me get through this message. I'm serious. Because I could tell while I was reading the text that it was going to be all me. I wasn't going to get no help. And you know, then there's churches where I went down to a church in Okeechobee, Florida. It was an all black church. And I'll tell you what, they pulled. They got into it. They got into the service with you, boy. One of them told me after the service, one brother told me, he said, "We took it kind of easy on you tonight because we didn't want to scare you to death." I've told that story to a lot of different brothers. Tell them, buddy, that's a good church to preach to down there. And I'll tell you something, not because I come from there, but if you ever get on, sign on the internet and look at the church up in Ohio, I'm going to tell you something, that's a good church to preach to. I'll tell you what, that's a good place to go and have a good time in the Lord. And that church has that reputation like that. I'll tell you what I want our reputation to be. I want our reputation to be, I like going there to preach. The people are receptive. You know, when a minister comes through here to preach, you think that if there's spirits that are that people are giving audience to, you think they don't pick that up or detect that? Sure they do. I had a minister come here and preach some years ago that he came here and preached. Good brother. He sat back there in the back room and he told me, he said, "You got a brother out in your church and this and that and the other is what he's dealing with." And he says, "You got another one and they're dealing with this and that and the other." And he told me, hit right on spot. So they can pick that up while they're preaching. Sometimes you'll pick up things and you don't know exactly what it is sometimes. But you just get this feeling. And it'll come from certain parts sometimes of the church. Depending on what's going on, that's the truth. I don't want to be carrying a bunch of baggage in here with me when I come to church to hear somebody preach. We ought to have enough maturity to realize when it's the enemy talking to us. Amen. We ought to have enough maturity by now. I'm talking to you older ones. Amen. And I'm talking to myself. We ought to have enough maturity to realize when the enemy is trying to stir up trouble amongst us. But I'm going to tell you this. We have reached a point where God has instructed me, move on.
Amen.
Get whoever wants to get ready, let's get them ready to go.
Amen.
But what you're hearing tonight, you're hearing my heart cry out to you. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. This is a record of this church. The Thessalonian church. This scripture is talking about, there's a record of them in the book of remembrance. In the book of remembrance, there's a record of us. So it ain't just what preachers think of us, but it's what God thinks of us. I'm going to tell you this, God, the Bible says, is love. And he longs to have his people make love to him. He longs to have his people come in and worship him, to praise his name. I was reading something today, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it right now best I can, but I'll read it to you on Sunday. Brother Branham said something to the effect, we have not done enough to show our appreciation for him redeeming us. Hebrews chapter 10. Not too much longer. Just a little bit here now. Now I want to kind of, at this point, I want to kind of change from the way we've been going, and I want to bring it down just a little more personal. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Call to remembrance our former days. In the book of Revelations, God speaking to the churches says in one place, I've somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. God was saying their love had got cold. I've seen couples, young couples, their first initial years, why they just can't show enough affection toward one another. Sometimes you catch them, their eyes looking at each other, and you can just see it coming forth. Then I've seen those, as they years go by, they grow more and more in love. The years fade us, make us into look like something we never looked like when we fell in love. But the love grows. Then I've seen others, as it goes on, they become common to one another. I don't ever want my love with him to become common. I want to love him more today than I've ever loved him before. Many times when Christians first get saved, well, they don't care if the music's loud. They don't care how long you preach. Going to church, why, they're just so glad to get there, they can't hardly stand it. And there's no such thing as too many services. They can't get enough. But then some, as a time later, the pew gets hard, song service goes too long, PA system's too loud, temperature just ain't right. What's happened? We're going to focus on the wrong things. If you're cold in here, wear a sweater. But don't sit around and think about it and complain about it. If you're too hot, don't wear a sweater. We need to have our minds on the Lord when we come here. Amen. Well, I tell you, Brother Branham says, "In what house will you build me?" I know that each one of you, if you feel like I do, I'm so hungry to see the Spirit of God moving, I just can't hardly stand it. Some experiences I just had up in the mountains, just to feel that once again. That's something that when I was first saved, that was so glorious to my heart. And we can come into a place we can set and we can see it among us, that we are drying. As we sit here in the desert, I get among my brethren, they talk with me and I talk with them, always in a little way of watching and feeling out there with the Spirit as it was to see just the condition of that brother and see what's wrong. And I begin to feel it's all reclining, getting away from the Spirit. It's becoming too natural a thing to us. We must worship in spirit where the Spirit of God is. Not only our message should be the flame of the hour, it should be the flame in our hearts. It's got to be in our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people. The Spirit has to pack the message itself. Remember the tenderness, the sweetness that you felt when God first saved you. But God hasn't changed. If there's been any change, it's been in us. Let's read, I believe, just one more scripture. Yes, just one more scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm coming to a close here. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called the place of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hereunto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Earlier, about 20 years prior to this, Israel had gotten away from God and they had suffered some defeats. And they had some bad memories that were associated with this very place that was just mentioned here in the scriptures. And the reason was because they had lost a tremendous battle there in that same location. And when they lost that battle to the Philistines, they also lost the Ark of the Covenant. The same location. There's been locations or spaces or spots in our lives where we've lost battles. And they had lost this one here in this location before. But this time, under the direction of Samuel, they went and won a battle against the Philistines and drove the Philistines out from their borders. And when it happened, Samuel took and set up a stone and called it Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. And it was set up to remind the people that they had had a victory. It was to replace the memories of the battles lost with the memory of a battle won. We may have lost some battles now and then, but we need to, when we win a battle, set up a stone of remembrance, as it were, in our mind and our heart. Amen. To remind us we won this battle. I believe we're in a battle as a church. We're in a war against the spirits and devils of this age, which are trying to prevent the bride from going into rapture. You might think, well, in us, in our little old church over here, We're part of the big bride.
Amen. That's right.
We may be small, but we're still a part of the bride.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, it's Satan's business. Satan would love to turn this church into a depressing place again. But that's when we need to win this battle and put down a stone of remembrance to where we can remember we got the victory. Amen. Not something to recall back from years that happened in years past, but something that happened here tonight. A battle won against the devil that's tried to make us begin to get cold and indifferent. It will rekindle our love for the Lord. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." Amen. Restore unto me the joy. As we've heard the prophet say before, David hadn't lost his salvation. He had just lost the joy of it. We haven't lost our salvation tonight, but we need to have the joy of our salvation restored. To remember what it was like when we got saved. To remember how it felt to have been in the presence of God, to where you was on such on fire, you couldn't wait to get out and tell somebody about it. Hallelujah. Everywhere you went, there was a reflection. People say, "What in the world's wrong with you?" Well, I'll tell you what, I got saved. They might wish they hadn't asked you after they got you started, but that's where we need to be again. What hearest thou, Elijah? They come to the instruments. We're closing. Nate, you get ready to come, brother. Now with every head bowed and all eyes closed, he says here, this is laity, church members. Would you raise your hand and say, "God, remember me. Put me in the cleft. Speak to me in a still small voice. I want to hear a still small voice that will anoint me and send me to my post of duty, a different person. Just as true as I'm standing here, God, I believe that you're calling your church into a cave now to speak to them. And Lord, it doesn't altogether have to be a made cave like the prophet hid in, but it can be a little cave in our memory. It can be a cave in our soul where we can move back and stop and take inventory and look around and listen and see what we hear. Take us from here this moment, Lord, to the cave. And may this convention not altogether break in a great shout and jubilee, but may it break into an experience, into a sobbing and a repenting and a revival spirit in men's hearts that revives them and brings them back to God again and to that sweet, humble experience like the night that we were saved, Lord." Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to renew ourselves to you tonight. We want, Lord, to rekindle that feeling we had, Lord. Not that we go on feelings, but Lord, we want to remember back, Lord, to how our relationship was and how close we felt to you when you first saved us. Lord Jesus, we want to get our focus on you. We want to get our focus on being like you, Lord. We want to get our focus on loving you, Lord, and showing you how much we love you, Lord, and our appreciation. Lord Jesus, forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our unbelief, God. Forgive us tonight, I pray, dear God, of little petty things that we allowed to get in our way of serving you. Lord, forgive us of those things And I pray, dear God, give us ready to go in this rapture that's coming. Lord, bless your people tonight with these things, Lord. I pray that may they go from this building, Lord, changed from what they were when they came in. May we have a different outlook than when we first came in here tonight and sat down, dear God. May, Lord God, that we look, Lord God, back at that time when it seemed like there was a song in our heart. Oh, God, and we went forth, and it seemed like there was such a joy. We were so happy. People could ask, why are you happy? I'm just happy. Lord Jesus, I'm so happy you saved me. I'm so happy, dear God, that you took away my sin, Lord. That you picked me up, God, from the place I was in. I was so unworthy. But, oh, God, you called me, Lord. And I thank you for that tonight. You could have let me go, Lord. But you didn't. And I'm so glad you didn't, Lord. I'm so glad your grace caught me and brought me back. Bless your people with this, I pray tonight, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Sing Jesus Draw Me Closer.
Jesus Draw Me Closer. Thank you.
Thank you.